Again, just good to have you here this morning. Yesterday, I'm not sure if there's any of the family here of Ronald McDonald, and we did a funeral yesterday there, and that was a packed house at Boscombe Hall, and so our prayers and sympathies do go to the family. I do encourage you as well to be praying this week for the pastors, staff, spouses of our pastors and staff of our churches as they come here to be praying in this church on the Tuesday. So just encourage you to keep that. That happens about 8:30 in the morning and supposed to be all done around 3 o'clock or maybe even a little bit sooner. And so just keep that in prayer. Something that the district is doing new and they want to come to our area and they want to use our church again. So we're blessed by that and having our district superintendent, Gary Taitinger, being able to be with us. Last time he was here, he was able to share with us on one of the nights when we had a pastor, board, and staff meeting with him. And we had a really good time. We want to have another one. And he's going to work out a date that he can come on a Sunday to be with us as well. Before we get into Word, I think most of the offering plates have gone by. Why don't you just stand up, turn around, and welcome one another in the house of the Lord. There's somebody you don't know. Why don't you just take a moment and just welcome somebody into the house of God. Amen. Amen. Good to have you in church today, and just a good opportunity just to talk to one another, say hello to one another. And this morning, as you can see here in the front, we have our communion emblems out here. And this week, the Lord just kind of spoke to me that, so I was looking at talking about various basics of our faith. We've been kind of been doing that as a theme. Just very strongly, the Lord just said, you talk about communion. And so that's what we want to talk about here today. And if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to Matthew 26 and then be ready to flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So Matthew 26 and then jump over to 1 Corinthians 11. Those just two portions of Scripture that do speak about this service that we participate in all of our Christian churches here. Says, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. And then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat it, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words. I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Down to 1 Corinthians, or over to 1 Corinthians 11. So a few more flips in there or your pages. And it says, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, You're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, as we talk about communion this morning, Lord, there's some things that you want to speak to us about. And I pray that, Lord, that you would just help me to communicate that, that, Lord, something that I would say here today, Lord, would just find a resting place in people's hearts today. That, Lord, there's something that we need to know about communion. There's something, Lord, that you want to stress to us today. And I just pray that, Lord, that you would just show us that as we look to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we want to talk about communion. Sometimes we call it a sacrament, an ordinance. It's a commandment by Christ for all believers to participate in. Sometimes we use other names, such as the Lord's Supper, or sometimes even the name the Eucharist. And here at this church, we usually call it communion. Sometimes we call it the Lord's Supper. And participating in communion is about remembering, reminding ourselves of the high cost of our salvation, that it took the body and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ to be a sacrifice for our sin, and that his blood would be shed for the forgiveness of our sin, that we might be saved from judgment, and that we might be restored into a right relationship with God. That's saying quite a bit in a short form of what communion is. Now, the bread is a symbol of Christ's body. The wine is a symbol of Christ's blood. And it's there to remind us to be thankful for what Jesus Christ did for us, and to remind us that there is now a new covenant that is in place. The old covenant that came from the Old Testament involved the sacrificing of a lamb and the applying of that blood. It was a legal ceremony which was practiced in the cultures of the ancient world. Many cultures of the ancient world used to call it a blood covenant. And that covenant involved the sacrifice and also the shedding of blood. As one would participate in this agreement, it was an agreement that would be binding to both parties. And it served as a witness of the agreement. Today in our world, we do all this on paper, and we have lawyers and have documents, and they get them signed and sealed and get official stamp on it. And for many years, I don't know if they still do it anymore, but they used to make that seal over that red ink. And again, where did that come from? It came from blood covenants throughout time. So participating in these things was something that was binding, again, and served as a witness to them. And so communion is a reminder of your legal document with God, and that you have a sealed and validated document with God through the blood of Jesus, God's Son. It's a reminder that you have a right to enter God's presence as a believer. It is a reminder that you no longer belong to the devil, and that the devil has no authority over you. For now that you are a believer, you are under a new covenant, a new legal agreement that you belong to Jesus. And so communion, you know, as it gets into a wider meaning, also includes a reminder of that as well. This covenant came out of the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, and is based on the Jewish Passover, that Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled that old covenant by being our Passover. First Passover is recorded back in Exodus chapter 12, where Israel was to prepare to leave Egypt as the last judgment of God on Egypt was about to take place. In preparation, they were to choose a lamb or a young goat with no defect. The lamb was to be killed or sacrificed, and the blood was taken and smeared on the tops of the door frames and the sides of the door frames of their home. And when the plague would come upon Egypt, the Bible, that last plague was every firstborn child would die. But however, God told them that as you would apply the blood, and as he would come to bring this judgment, he told them that when I would see the blood, I will pass over you, not inflicting the judgment that was happening to the rest of Egypt. So that's the first recording of the Passover. You can see that back in Exodus 12, 13. But it says, the blood in your doorpost will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. And this became a lasting ordinance for the Jewish people to observe and looking forward to a day where there would be that final sacrifice. And so they continued this throughout many years. Some are still doing it today. Some are doing it looking for the Messiah. And some Jewish people are doing it knowing that the Messiah has already come, but they still honor him through this service called the Passover. That was kind of the old covenant. And what we need to understand that Jesus came to fulfill that covenant for us, making us a new covenant. You'll notice in communion, Jesus says, I have a new covenant. There's a new covenant that is starting today. And the Bible tells that Jesus became the Passover lamb, that lamb without defect. He was a perfect sacrificial lamb. He died in our place, and his blood has been applied to our lives. And since he was a better sacrifice, since he was the perfect sacrifice, without sin, without defect, then he brought in a new covenant because it is now better blood, better sacrifice. And that's what Jesus has done for us. So instead of applying blood now on our door frames of our homes, our job is to believe in him, to respond to Jesus Christ, to repent of our sins. And as we do that as believers, blood is applied to our lives. We don't see it, but there's a marking on every believer that the enemy does see, and that the evil spirits do see, and that God sees. And as we do so, we are no longer need to fear the coming judgment of God. As just as in the Old Testament, when he sees the blood, he will pass over us, and that judgment will pass over us. So communion is a reminder, really, of many things, but especially of what Jesus Christ has done for us. A reminder that goes back to the beginning of the Bible, back into Exodus. A reminder that goes through the entire Old Testament into the New Testament. And there in the New Testament, the new covenant is given. And then it continues on right until Jesus Christ returns. And that's what the Bible says, that as we participate in communion, that we're doing this until he comes again and we share that meal with him at the great marriage supper of the Lamb. And as we talk about the return of Christ, well, that's another basic of Christian faith that we'll maybe use for another day. But that's another big subject that's out there. Jesus Christ will return again. And communion service is a service where we're being reminded of that very truth, that he will come again. And so we look forward to that day when he comes. And I believe personally that we're getting very close to that time. I really do believe that we're in the last of the last days and that his coming will be soon. So there's a lot of meaning in communion, much more than just that cup of wine or that piece of bread. But since those are the symbols that we see and partake of, I want to talk just a little bit about those emblems as we talk about the basics of communion. So first of all, let's talk about the bread. That bread is about the body of Christ. The bread represents Christ's body that was a sacrifice for sin. Matthew 26:26 again. As they were eating the Passover meal, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. Part of the bread that was part of the Passover meal. He broke it in pieces, gave it to the disciples saying, "Take this and eat this, for this is my body." And again, remember that this is part of the Passover meal. Unleavened bread, bread without yeast. It's real bread, and it was a part of the regular Passover meal. So Jesus took literal bread, broke it, gave it to them, and they ate literal bread. Now please note that the bread stayed the bread, and his body stayed his body. Neither changed into the other. Now, some Christians would believe that the bread turns into the actual body of Christ and that the wine actually turns into the actual blood of Christ. And sometimes where that problem can lead people is that can lead them to that place where they believe that communion then becomes how you're saved, that you partake of communion and then you're saved. And we do not believe that. We believe that salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ, not in an ordinance, not in a sacrament, but in faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we do observe that throughout Scripture, that Jesus
as he was partaking of this and instituting this, it's always important to look at where it was first instituted. When there are things in the Bible, when you study the Bible, there's this thing called the law of first reference. And that's where you look to where was it first referred to. That's where you need to start your basis of study as you come to the Scriptures. And we observe in that part of the Scripture, in the Passover meal, that Jesus literally took bread. That's part of the Passover meal. He took that bread. He broke it, and he gave that bread to the disciples. He did not become the bread. He gave the bread to them, symbolizing that it would indeed be a symbol of his body. So it's very important that we recognize that. And then as you come into the book of John, you see that Christ is referred to as the bread of life. And again, sometimes Christians like to take that and say, well, yes, see, that does happen, that the bread actually becomes a literal body of Christ. Well, if you want to go that way, then you also have to say then that Christ literally becomes a door. And Christ literally becomes a vine. And Christ literally becomes a way. That Christ literally becomes life. Christ literally becomes a rock. And Christ literally becomes a cornerstone. And so that doesn't fit into that system of thinking. And so again, it's all about that is symbolic of the body of Christ. And so that's what we believe at this church. There are other Christians that may believe differently. And that's okay. We're telling you what we believe at this church, that we believe the bread is symbolic of the body of Christ. Now, why should we be reminded of the body of Christ? And that's the part that really is important. Sometimes we like to argue over things that are not as important as the real thing that Christ is trying to get across to us. And that's the part that, what we are to celebrate about the body of Christ. Because Jesus Christ was that sacrifice for sin. It took a perfect sacrifice. A sacrifice, a better sacrifice that could fulfill the old covenant to bring in a new covenant. If you don't have something better, then you cannot replace something that is older. You have to have something better to replace an older covenant. It's interesting that even in the Bible we see that the terminology is used to help us associate back to the actual Passover meal. And 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, Christ is our Passover lamb, and he has been sacrificed for us. Again, direct reference back to the Passover, the Jewish Passover. So Jesus not only fulfilled the Jewish Passover of the Old Testament, he was the Passover lamb that was sacrificed that takes away the sins of the world, which is what John the Baptist, as he came before Christ, and to preach about Christ, that was the very statement that John the Baptist used to proclaim. He says in John 1:29, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so we're having this terminology to help us to focus back on something that was in the Old Testament to realize how it's affecting our New Testament. So it's very important now, this terminology, that it gives us a direct reference to the Passover of the Old Covenant in the Old Testament. And we realize that as we partake today that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb, that he died in our place. He was the sacrifice. He paid the price of sin, which was death. And his body became that sacrifice. And so as you partake of that bread, that's what you're reminding yourself of, that Jesus Christ fulfilled that Old Testament passage, that he is now our Passover lamb. He is the one that died, the perfect sacrifice, which brought in a whole new covenant where we stand and can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, 24 says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. And by his wounds, you are healed. So this bread of the Passover meal looks forward to a better sacrifice to come. And the communion service recognizes that the better sacrifice has come through the body of our Lord, our Passover lamb that was crucified on our behalf for our sins. And since he was the perfect lamb of God, then there is no other need for any other sacrifices to be made, because he was the perfect, sinless Son of God. And so no other sacrifices need to be made. We don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to sacrifice a lamb anymore, because the greatest Lamb of God has been sacrificed on our behalf. So it's brought in a new and a better covenant. And so it tells us again, 1 Corinthians 11, 23-24, on the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks to God for it. He broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And that's what we need to do as we come to around that table and as we partake. We're ready to take some time to think about what we're doing. And personally for myself, I find sometimes a little difficult having communion services when, you know, you have your service and it's kind of at the end and you realize that people are, you know, they have things, places to go. And I don't like being rushed when I do communion. And because I realize it should be a time for us to reflect and think about all that Jesus Christ has done for us. Because he really did. He brought in a new covenant. We're not under an old covenant anymore where we have to take a lamb and slay that lamb and smear the blood for protection anymore, for forgiveness of sins. The perfect Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, was sacrificed on our behalf that our sins could be forgiven, that the debt of sin, which was death, could be paid, and he did it all for you and I. So that's what that bread is about. If you want more, you can read into Hebrews chapter 10, talk some more about that as well. And then we come to the part about the wine. And as we look at that one there as well, we see the cup and the wine, which represents the blood of Jesus. And again, what's important here is what it represents, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the Bible says, was shed so that where our sins could be forgiven, but also that it was shed to seal the covenant. Any blood covenant had to have blood that was spilled. All of society, if you look back through society and the start of our world and his history, you'll see that blood covenants were used throughout the ages. And so Jesus used something that was familiar with the people of the time that to help them in that understanding that there is now a new covenant that has come into place through Jesus Christ, through better sacrifice, also through better blood that came from Jesus. And so Matthew 26, 27, 28 says, "And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, 'Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many.'" So it really has two purposes. First purpose is that we are reminded, my sins are forgiven. And most times when we think of that, that's all we think about. But we also need to realize that that brought a new covenant. That was the final seal that was put on there to say that this is now an official document. This is now the official way that things are going to go. And so it is a binding document that occurred through that new covenant when the blood was spilled upon it. So this cup of wine was a cup that was taken in the Passover meal. And there are many cups of wine that were taken in the Passover meal. So this one, I think it was the fourth one, I believe, that came in this Passover meal that Jesus did. Now, some people get to that part, well, was it fermented or was it not fermented? I don't think that really matters a whole lot except to say what is it supposed to represent. It's supposed to represent the blood. Now, when you read that and you study about that, most scholars would tell you that this wine would be a diluted form of wine because of this being a very serious meal where people would seek forgiveness and where it was practiced throughout the ages. And as you can think of a Passover meal when there are many cups of wine, you can see what could happen after many cups of wine if they were fully fermented. And you could end up being rather drunk. And so I don't think that would be kind of God's idea as he comes to institute this, that people would be drunk. And if you would read in about the communion service in 1 Corinthians 11, you see that there's a rebuke to the Christians because they did get drunk as they were celebrating a common meal in a communion together. And so Jesus rebukes them, or the Apostle Paul rebukes them for that situation. And so we as a church, we choose to use a non-alcoholic wine or a grape juice. And what's really important is that it is a fruit of the vine and of what it represents. And so that's where you need to be focused on, is what it represents, and not to get into all the arguments and the fighting of this, was it this or was it that. It's about the blood of Jesus. And so I encourage you to focus on that aspect. Now, as I said, we choose to use the non-alcoholic wine as we do that. And as we do that, we're expressing that this represents, it's a symbol of the blood of Jesus, where there is forgiveness of our sins. It's interesting, the Bible says with covenants, it says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without that blood being shed, there's no forgiveness. The document, that covenant, cannot be validated unless the blood had been shed. And that's what Jesus did for us. Now, the point of the cup, that it represents the blood, and that's really, our main issue that we need to be focusing on. It's, again, part of the celebration that involved many cups. And you will also know that Jesus gave the cup to all who participated. And therefore, we believe that, as we see, again, the law of first reference, that we should also be able to share that together as the body of Christ. And that's why in our church, we use many cups and we serve you with those cups, because we watch what was done in the original Passover, in which they all partook of the cup. And so that's why we have many cups versus one cup. So hopefully that helps you to understand a little bit of why we do it the way we do it. Now, it says in 1 Peter 1:18-20, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has revealed him to you." See, it's the blood that makes the difference. It's the blood that seals the deal, that seals the new covenant. It's the blood that makes the agreement binding and legal. It's the blood that frees us from our sin, and that is what that cup is representing. Revelations 1:5 says that Jesus Christ, he is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead, the ruler of all the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. So that communion service, it's designated by God to remind us and to keep our focus on what is important in our Christian faith. And that is about that there's been a price that has been paid. Jesus Christ paid that price. There's been blood that has been spilled. That blood was necessary to seal that new covenant, where we could stand before God as believers in Christ Jesus, that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We have been redeemed by his sacrifice. The price has been paid, and it's been the price of his blood being shed for us. Now, if you want to read more about the blood and how that talks about the binding agreement and the contract, the binding covenant, you can read in Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, and it talks a little bit more about that. But this cup of wine represents and reminds us of the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sins, bringing us into a new covenant, a covenant bought by a better sacrifice, better blood, the blood of Jesus. So in this communion service, as we take that cup, let us remind ourselves that it's representing the blood of Jesus. And as we are reminding that, we can also remind ourselves that because we have accepted Christ in our lives, because we have chosen to believe in him, that we've repented of our sins, that we can now stand in a right relationship with God because the price has been paid and Jesus shed his blood for us. And so we can stand before God with a better covenant sealed. It's too bad in many ways that we could almost take that and a picture of that and put it into an envelope, and every time the devil would come on against us, that you'd be able just to hold that up and said, read the envelope, read the agreement, I'm part of a new covenant. I'm not part of an old covenant anymore. My price has been paid. Jesus paid the price for my sin. Jesus shed his blood for my sin. So devil, get out of here. I got a sealed document. So it's kind of like a reminder like that, that you hold in your possession a legal document to say to the devil, I'm not going to experience that judgment because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So as we say on our communion times, 1 Corinthians 11:25, the same way he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. And as we do that this morning, we really are to take a time to remember, a time to give our thanks. And this should fill our hearts and our minds that we have a lot to be thankful for. We really do. God has done so much for all of us. We stand forgiven because of what he has done for us. We have a new covenant with God, sealed, paid for by the blood of Jesus. And so as our musicians would come back to the instruments, and I ask the ushers if they would come at this time and get themselves together to come to that we might distribute these emblems here this morning. I hope you see that there's really a whole lot, and we're just kind of talking about the basics of communion. There's a whole lot more that we can talk about, especially if you want to go back into the Jewish Passover and talk about the Passover and how Christ fulfills every part of that Passover meal. But it is a reminder to us that we are believers, we are under a new covenant where the price of sin has been paid for by the death and the sacrifice of Christ. Jesus died for you and me. And his blood has been shed that it might seal the deal, seal the document, make it legal, make it binding, that we now enter into a new covenant. And for this, we're to be thankful. And we are to continue to participate in this service and to give thanks unto God until he comes again. How many times we should do it? Some churches do it weekly. Some churches do it monthly. Some churches do it every few months. There's not really any set time of how often you should do it. That's really up to whatever the church wants to do. It just tells us do so until he comes again. So friends, we've been bought with a price. New covenant has been signed, sealed, paid for by Jesus Christ. So as we come around this table here this morning, it is a reminder to us of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's done so much. He really has. And as a believer now, we have that right to enter into his presence. We have that right that we don't have to listen to the enemy of our soul, because we can tell that devil, listen, devil, you have no rights over me anymore. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid that price, and his blood is against you. I've been sealed. The blood of Jesus is against you. So as we come around this table here this morning, we're going to pass these emblems out, and we welcome you to join with us. You don't have to be a part of this church or denomination to be take a part. If you're a believer in Christ, you qualify, and you are welcome to share with us here this morning. And so the way we do it here is that we just take these emblems and we kind of pass them down the aisle. And if you want to partake, you just take a cup out, take a piece of bread out. And if you don't want to, just pass it on. That's not a problem either. And then at the end, once everyone has received, we then stand together and then we partake together. Okay, so that's kind of how we do it here. Doesn't mean our way is better than anyone else's way. It's just the way we're doing it here. And so you're welcome to be a partake of that. And as it's being passed out, our worship team will lead you in a song of worship. And then once everyone receives, we'll all participate together. Thank you.